folks. This is Matt from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
ShiningWizards.com.
Do you remember the days when Dynamite Kid could walk? Me too. Relive those fun memories at Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea.
The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit RantENradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Continue.
What's up, kids? Thank you so much for listening in. There's so many ways you can support Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You can go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave a review. It helps us out. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy one of our fresh t-shirts. That also helps us a lot. Go to RantEMRadio.com and go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com and get all of our peers' content because it's amazing and it's for you and it's for free. Go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com too and get all of our back content and support all of our friends that are not network affiliates. Once again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you guys all for checking us out and downloading the show. Appreciate it. We love you all. Enjoy tonight's show. Peace.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm going to end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Ooh, you're looking at the man.
Ooh. It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Ooh, yeah!
Come! Look! See! Look! Look! Say hi!
Hi.
Camera!
Nice, nice.
SD! Kendall!
George, what do you see when you look in the camera?
See? Look. You look. See?
I see.
Now. Hey. Camera. Kangaroo.
George, you want to go to Australia too?
Kangaroo.
Well, obviously, SD, George the Animal Seal is...
Nice!
Surprise!
Surprise!
Nice!
Elizabeth!
Kangaroo!
Kangaroo!
Oh, my God.
Rest in peace, George the Animal Seal.
R.I.P., my friend.
79 years old.
I didn't know he... I thought he was a lot older.
No.
That's crazy.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Let me lower Nicole Bass's music. We'll get into that in a second.
Oh, boy.
I am your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Yoda of yesteryear, the... What do they call me? The Messiah of Memories. I love
there
all
you
these.
Go.
Thank you, geeks of the industry. I am the Impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, and my journey continues with my tag team partner,
the Portuguese Man of War, Choppy. What's up, everyone?
And we are not... Well, we're live.
Now we are.
Well, yeah. We're live.
Yeah.
But we're not live. We're pre-recorded.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's a couple things going on this weekend. It's my anniversary this weekend, my wedding anniversary.
Oh my God, it's the romance and begin.
5 years.
God bless you.
So the gift, the how it works is, well, I don't think we're exchanging this shit because we're poor, but the traditional gift is like every couple of years you have to give like a traditional gift. And this, the fifth year, you're supposed to give wood. I was like, well, I'm going to give you wood all weekend. I was like, hey-o, ring the bell, yeah. I was like, you're going to get wood all weekend. So God, yeah, God bless, you know?
So where are you guys going?
Someplace in western Pennsylvania.
Well, there's a lot of wood over there, too.
Cold wood. She can get both ends.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for everybody for tuning in. If you're in the chat room and you're listening to us anyway, we still thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I'm laughing because I'm trying to shield my sadness because, well, last night we found out that Nicole Bass had passed away. Nicole Bass, I grew up in Queens, around the Brooklyn border, everybody knows. I know I don't have to repeat my story. And Nicole Bass lived, I want to say, 5 minutes from me in Middle Village, Queens.
Okay.
She's a Queens native. Don Tony talks about her all the time because he knew the husband.
Yeah.
But I got a cool story, and I think I told this on the air. I know I think I told you like what on off the air, and I told it when I was with Scott. So Scott knows the story. I know Dave knows the story too. But one of my best friends, he lives in Florida now, and he's actually my cousin now because I married. He married his wife, and I married her cousin. So Tony Ann is a first cousin.
That's awesome.
Right, so now Brian's my cousin paid by marriage. I've known Brian for 25 years. So Brian lived in Middle Village, and there's a track. There's a park, Juniper Valley Park. And I know Don Tony talks about this park all the time.
Yeah.
The park is massive. And there's like you could run, and there was famously people jogging there all the time. Like it was it's still to this day people jog there. So there was this person that jogged at like 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, and we couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman. Now I didn't know she was a bodybuilder. I didn't even know who she was. This was like the early 90s. And my buddy Brian, his mom, God bless, I call her mom Joanne. She's awesome. Joanne is always on a diet, and she had like these bagels in the freezer. They're like these dietary bagels. So I was starving. I'm like, dude, let me eat. It's like we just came home from drinking. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I'm starving. He's like, well, eat a fucking bagel, he says to me. I'm like, all right. So I have to go defrost it in the microwave, and I gotta toast this fucking thing. I toast it, and it's the nastiest piece of bread I've ever had in my life. So he lived on the second floor of a balcony. So I got a running start from the dining room, leaped over the couch like a discus thrower. And I fucking launched the bagel out the fucking
perfect use of a bagel,
a bad bagel.
Yeah,
you don't waste. You don't waste a good bagel.
No.
And if you live in New York City, you know we have the best bagels in the world. And that's not even debatable. That's not even debatable. We have the best bread and the best bagels in the world.
And that's because our water is fantastic.
It is. That's the only thing that's fantastic. Anyway, so I threw it and I got distance. I'm like, what the fuck? Now I'm toasting them, I'm burning them on purpose, and I'm launching them like fucking discus throws, right?
Oh, boy.
And I wound up hitting this jogger. And she was pissed. Now, you look at Nicole Bass, and she's a massive human being. She was a bodybuilder. She was, like, on the cover of magazines and stuff. She this is before Howard Stern. This is before ECW and WWE. She was massive. So she got hit, and luckily, I wasn't outside the balcony, so she doesn't know where it came from. She just got fucking beamed in the head with a crusty bagel, and we're like ducking behind the couch. Like, if she sees this, we're going to fucking die, right? So now, thank God, like, there's other balcony doors that are open. She can't see anything, but she just looks at her head, rubs it, screams, and yells, and then that was it.
So she sounded like Andre the Giant?
Well, from a distance. When you're up close, she's like, hello, how you doing? You know, what's your name? Denise. No. She was probably, and I felt bad because I hit her again. Like, I timed it.
No way.
Yeah. I was like, I was fearless. I didn't know who she was, but I knew she called me, she was going to kill me. So I did it again, and then we stopped because my mother got upset because we took ate all her bagels. My best friend's mom, I call her mom. Mom got pissed because we ate all her bagels. Well, I didn't eat them. I burnt them and threw them out the window. Such a dick.
Such a great child.
I was. So I wound up meeting Nicole Bash years and years and years later, one of the nicest people on the planet, and I felt terrible.
Did you tell her the story?
I wanted to.
You should have.
I didn't, because she would have beat me up, dude.
I would have said the story, man.
Choppy, have you seen the size of her?
She's like, what, 5'10"?
She's my height, and she's got arms like legs and legs like people. She was fucking massive, dude. Massive. As my Rosclaw friend said, massive, man, massive.
Like tree trunks.
Man, I say like tree trunks, man. You're killing me crazy. So, no doubt. So I was like, get the fuck out of here. I ain't telling her nothing. I said, thank you. I live in Queens, too. Oh, where do you live? I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. I shop there all the time. And I'm like, ugh. So she's been the butt of jokes. She was on Howard Stern. She had a really bad life, apparently. And sadly, she's not with us anymore. But she was a pillar in the neighborhood. People liked her, and she repped her hood, and she was serviceable as a bodyguard to the Divas. She was a bodyguard for Justin Credible and Jason.
I love that.
You remember
team.
When she was kissing Jason in the
ring?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
that was great.
I know. So I had zero issues with Nicole Bass. We poked fun, we laughed, but in essence, she was a good hand, you know. So she passed away. Chavo Classic passed away.
Bro, when I found out that Chavo Classic passed away, I was like, what?
Well, I knew he was sick.
I didn't know he was sick.
Yeah, he had the liver casino, you know? So I just, you know, it's sad, you know? Who else just died? Like, there's another person that died that's not wrestling related, too. Oh, fuck.
Wasn't it somebody from, like, CD 101.9 or something like that?
Oh, no, Al Jarreau died.
Is that, yeah, something like
jazz,
that.
He put CD 101.9. Al Jarreau was a big in the jazz industry, but he also had some hits in the 80s in the mainstream.
Okay.
But he was, yeah, he was on Light FM all the time.
I knew it was something.
I love
like
how
that.
Choppy made that reference. The CD 101.9, if you guys don't know, it's the Light FM station in New York City. That's what Choppy's referring to. But yeah.
Like, that was like what, late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah.
Holy shit,
yeah.
I don't remember that.
Because when you always slept over somebody's house, that their parents had like a clock radio,
yeah,
and he played that fuck. My friend Neil's mom, and Neil, if you listen, you know what I'm talking about. Neil's mom slept with the radio on, right? And I had no problem with that because I do the same thing. But I would lay in bed and I would hear the Light FM station, and it was the same like four songs, Al Jarreau and some other, and like, you know, Kenny G and some other shit. But this is like back in the 80s, so. Yeah, I don't like when people, you know what, I hope it's not like 2016. People just drop and drop and drop and drop. But George Steele was like, and I knew he was sick too. Like last night they reported he was in a hospice. You know, now you know what hospice is, obviously.
Oh, of course.
You can either go to a hospice facility or you go to hospice home care to die. It's when you go to hospice, you're going to die. It's pretty much the end of the road.
All they could do is just give you painkillers and that's it.
That's it, and you wait it out. Tragic. You know what? Let me rephrase that, because people are like, oh my god, it's tragic. It's not tragic. He's 80 years old. He had a long life. It's tragic for his family, but I really hate on social media all day on Twitter this morning. Oh, it's tragic. It's tragic. It's not tragic. The guy was sick for a minute.
And on top of that, he had a very successful career in wrestling. I mean, he was one of the main staples in the 80s and 70s.
Oh, in the late 70s, early 70s. He was the adversary of the great Bruno Sammartino.
Yes, he was.
He was the biggest heel in the company.
Oh yeah.
Before the nice, before all that, he would like terrorize you.
Did he actually do any promos at that time in the '70s?
I didn't hear any promos from him, and this was a little before my time as a wrestling fan. But I saw the cage match. I saw the rematch. I saw the, I mean, him and Bruno. I mean, listen. Bruno sold out to God more times than Sinatra, more times than Jay-Z, more times than the Rangers, more times than the Knicks, okay? So, I know MSG is the mecca of basketball, but it's also the mecca of sports entertainment.
I agree.
Don't ever get it twisted, kids.
Even wrestlers, to this very day, they still say, if you make it to MSG, you can make it anywhere.
Right. So, Sinatra was... you know, that guy too for a while, but Bruno sold out every month.
I believe there was a record between him and Billy Graham.
Yeah.
He sold out 20 times, straight times.
And I think now Billy Joel just did the whole thing with the 36 straight shows, sellouts or something like that.
How many times does Billy Joel do MSG? Is it once a month or twice a month?
I think he's doing twice a month lately since they redid the Garden. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I've never seen him live. I'm
I want to go.
I want to go too, yeah. So I'm sorry about your mic. I had to fuck with. I had to clean the room, but you good though, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, man. You know, I was a Debbie Downer. So I played the promo. It's my favorite promo with George Steele. The ones with Elizabeth were great, but him and SD Jones with Killer Ken. Killer Ken even put it on his Facebook page. I'm like, oh, Killer Ken. Me and Killer Ken were like right there. We knew the deal.
Yeah.
It's all over the interwebs now. They're saying, look, see it now. I just got this on Lords of Pain. Now, see, with Nicole Bass. I was talking to Choppy in pre-production, okay? I got a text from a family member who was close to the Bass family and not a wrestling fan and told me this, and now I'm confirming it. Bass is currently brain dead, which is why she was taken off life support. It was reported Thursday that Bass suffered a massive stroke early in the week, never recovered. PW Sheet source says girlfriend put out the word via Facebook Bass actually passed because she felt like Nicole's already gone. See what I'm saying? So she became brain dead after suffering a heart attack. And I just showed Choppy my text message.
Yeah, that's true.
From a family member who's friends with the people in the Bass family. So apparently the girlfriend is like a fucking wackadoo, you know? I didn't know she had a girlfriend. I knew she had a husband who passed away.
I didn't know she was bisexual. I thought she was straight.
You know, there's a thing with women, and I noticed this, and it's like a trend lately in the last 20 years. Like, they'll switch hit when something happens to them.
Okay.
And nothing wrong with that. No,
absolutely not. I mean,
you want companionship. So maybe she found it in this chick, and that was it. But I am mad at it. Love is love. You know what I'm saying? However... So now basically she's brain dead. She's dead. Either way, it's a sin. This is what happens when you do steroids for fucking...
It was a heart attack though, right?
It was a heart attack. It was a stroke that gave her a heart attack that gave it a brain dead.
Wow.
So she went stroke, then... So it was it was neurological that gave it a stroke that gave her the heart attack that made her brain dead.
Not to sound like a complete asshole, but... You can't be too surprised when a person who's been doing steroids for God knows how long.
Yeah.
And, you know, she lasts until she was about, what, 51? I mean...
She's 52 years old, right?
God bless her. You know, she was a very good hand in the ring.
Yeah.
I mean, my earliest memories was her and Justin Credible's group.
We just talked about that when she was Kiss, Tongue Kissing Jason.
Oh, my God. I remember... At Heat Wave 98, when Justin Credible and Jerry Lynn fought, she gets in the ring and Jerry Lynn kicks her in the crotch.
That was awesome.
Awesome move.
She was a good hand, man.
She was very good.
So, Nicole, if you're on your way out, rest in peace. If you're on your way, if you're out already, rest in peace. Just sad. Just really fucking sad. But, all right. The show must go on.
Absolutely.
And we have a nice show for you tonight. And, let's talk some news. Did you get to see the Elimination Chamber?
I saw it. I was actually very pleasantly surprised how good the Elimination Chamber was. It looked... the only gripe I have about it is that the chamber looked very cheap looking.
I told the kid that.
What the hell was up with it?
The kid says to me, it looks different. I'm like, yeah, it looks fake. He goes, yeah, that's right. It looks fake. You know how Mikey talks, right? It looks fake. Yeah, it's fake. So you and I spoke, like, for weeks and weeks and weeks now, like, you know, Bray Wyatt should win the championship. So he did.
Yeah. I was actually hoping, I was hoping that we were going to do the reverse roles. I was hoping that Bray would win the Royal Rumble, like you had stated before. And then Randy would win the WWE title, and then Bray and Randy fight at WrestleMania.
I think either way,
it wouldn't matter, you think?
No. Same good story. They want to push Luke Harper for some reason. I don't know why. I heard they may do him in a three-way in Bret Mania. I don't know. Now,
he's a good worker, though.
No, I'm not saying he's bad, but I don't want to... If it's a family beef, then I guess you have to put him in.
Of course.
And Marks, please, please think about the bigger picture. There was so much nonsense on the fucking interwebs about this. Who cares if it's a three-way? What about AJ Styles? I saw this kid's, one kid's complaint on online. AJ Styles carried the company for so long. And I was like, dude, AJ Styles ain't going nowhere. Do I want to see him fight Shane McMahon at Mania?
Not really.
No, but he'll be at Mania regardless. And he'll entertain you. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not, if it's Luke Harper in the triple threat, who fucking cares? He's a good worker. I love AJ Styles to death, and he did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, exactly.
As the WWE champion, and he carried that brand on his shoulders for a couple of months. Not, probably, what, 5 months as
yeah,
champ?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he did a great job. I don't know. I mean, just because the guy is not champion going into Mania, or he's not part of a championship match, doesn't discredit his ability. He's very, very good.
Yeah.
But you never know. Maybe he might even surprise us if he does find Shane McMahon.
Surprise!
Surprise! He might even surprise a lot of people. I remember when I found out that Kurt Angle was going to fight Shane at King of the Ring, I thought it was going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
And look what happened to that match. Yeah. You never know what could happen with AJ and Shane McMahon. We can't just downplay the match yet until
yeah,
we find out.
I know people aren't looking forward to Mania. I'm looking forward to the day. Because we're gonna have a full day,
yeah, of course,
and we'll be plugging that closer to the event. I'm more excited about that with the crew and the food we come up with, and maybe some guests. You and I are gonna be on the radio that day.
That's gonna be awesome.
So, anyway, all right. So let's give the rest of the card. Naomi got over the hump. No pun intended.
Didn't I call this?
You did.
I did. I had a feeling it was gonna happen.
And. Guys, enough with the fucking, with the racial shit, man. She didn't win because she was black.
No, she didn't win because she was black, but it just happened to be coincidental that it landed on Black History Month that she won the belt.
Right.
Whatever.
And then it was like, oh, you know, this guy won the belt on Black History Month too, and I'm like, the marks, man. Like, my cat is black. You see me getting mad? No. Come here, Brucey. Brucey's black, right, Brucey?
Brucey's awesome.
He is awesome. He's also black.
Yes.
But we don't get mad at that. Right, Brucey? We don't see color here. We see love. You fucking cat. Get out of here,
the
Mamba.
Marks need to chill the fuck out because what's the age group that we're talking here? Are we talking like my age group or are we talking like 16, 20-year-olds?
No, I don't know that. I didn't look at their fucking Facebook profile. But I mean, even on Twitter, Chop. I'm looking at Twitter. I'm like, come on, man. Let it go already.
I think they take this... You people need to... Not you people, but...
Yeah, that sounds fucking... That doesn't sound racist.
But a lot of fans think that, you know, they take this too seriously. It's a predetermined sport. It's a soap opera for men. You gotta just stop taking it so seriously. Just because, you know, your favorites are not involved doesn't mean it's... A bad thing? Come on.
I want to have nice things one day, you know? So, but they'll always be there. It's pissing me off.
Yeah.
Randy Orton did defeat Luke Harper to enhance this feud.
I did not see this match, but I heard it was amazing.
It was good. Amazing is... No. It wasn't amazing.
But it was good.
It was serviceable, yes.
Okay.
Because, again, Luke Harper's a good hand. Randy Orton is flawless in the ring.
He is.
I hate to admit that because he's so vanilla.
He's, you know, he had his moments.
He's flawless, dude.
In the ring, he's very smooth.
Yes.
Fluid.
Yeah.
He's like a cat. No pun intended. There's a cat right there.
There's Brucey. Now Brucey has to sit with us because he knows we're talking about him. But, yeah, no, he's flawless, dude.
He's really good.
Yeah. I remember, and I noticed it. You remember the little run he had with Kofi Kingston a few years ago?
Yeah, I was hoping that was going to be big things for that.
That's when I knew his greatness. That feud... When he tore him and Kofi tore it up.
Yeah.
I said, that dude is amazing. That Randy Orton is a great performer. I just wish he could talk better. Nikki Bella and Natalya, nobody cares.
Oh my God.
American Alpha, nobody. I mean, I guess nobody. I shouldn't say nobody cares, but the Ascension getting some love in the ring. And you talked about that. You were like, well, don't be surprised. And I'm like, eh.
And what'd you say when you saw that?
I was like, oh, Choppy's right. That's like Seinfeld. I mean, hey, why is Choppy right all the time?
What the fuck is going on with this
pay-per-view? No, I was like, wow, he called it. Like, it's fuck the Ascension.
I'm telling you, man. I felt like Nostradamus did this night.
Chops the Jamas.
Oh, there you go.
Chops the Damas. That's it. That's wow. That's what we're calling you. It's a new T-shirt for Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're going to get you a fucking, like, we're going to take a picture of you. Like, you're like Ming the Merciless with the, fucking, with the bald head and the, yes. And the cloak behind you. Chop. All right.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. You're in for it. I can't wait. I got to get some. I got to learn Photoshop.
But you did call it with the whole Usos thing because on SmackDown.
I didn't see SmackDown, but what happened on SmackDown?
SmackDown, they went on the Titantron and pretty much called out American Alpha. I think Usos are going to get the straps again.
I hope so. I don't mind the Thug Usos. I'm sorry.
Do they kind of remind you of the Briscoe brothers a little bit?
A little bit. You know what? Listen, imitation, best form of flattery. I said it on social media the other day. Imitation is the best form of flattery.
Don't be surprised if the Usos get over as heels and then the people get start cheering them.
Speaking of the Briscoes, are you coming ROH with us on the 4th?
I cannot. I'm going to be working.
You'll be working.
I'm
so
sorry.
So the TakeOver crew will be choppy-less at Hammerstein. We'll that's a Saturday, so we'll do a preview show before the day before on Turnbuckle Throwback, so don't forget that. Kalisto and Apollo Crews... beat Ziggles.
Yeah, who cares? What was the point of a handicap match for Ziggler? Shouldn't Ziggler have been the babyface in this situation?
Basically.
It was so stupid.
I don't know. I guess they have a thing for Kalisto. I think it's Triple H.
They want him to be Mysterio so badly, and it's not happening. I'm sorry.
It's Ray Light.
Yeah, you got Mysterio Light, you got Yuha Nation, and you got Mr. Perfect.
Perfect Ziggles.
Or Mr. Ass, whatever you want to call it.
Oh. Did you see Mr. Ass at Wrestle Kingdom?
Bro, he was...
53 years old?
He looked great.
He looked fucking amazing.
Bro, he doesn't age.
No, he
doesn't. That motherfucker never ages. I don't get it.
He was on Colt Cabana while that was going on.
I heard that one.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes.
All right, so he's...
Bro, you know who else looked great on that show? It was fucking Scott Norton, man.
Flash
Norton looked fucking great.
He did.
He had the mullet and everything, I think, still, right?
He did.
Oh.
I love Flash.
I love Scott.
Me too. Scott, Flash, Norton. Becky Lynch, ham sandwich versus bologna. Who cares?
Who cares?
Mickie James is beautiful, though, man.
She's a pretty woman. She is.
She's beautiful.
I actually thought she was Latina at one point, and then I found she was like part Cherokee or something.
Yeah,
like
she's part. She's a Navajo.
Navajo.
Hey-o. Ring the bell. And our boy Kurt Hawkins, Brian Myers, the Prince of Queens, getting defeated by the worst wrestler right now on the SmackDown roster.
Fuck me, man. Why are they doing this to Brian Myers, man?
I don't know.
He's such a good hand.
I don't know what they're doing. He needs to be back in a tag team.
I feel like when Ryder comes back, they're going to put him together again with
the... Oh, but making the edge heads?
Yeah, I feel like they're going to put those two again together.
Well, you know what? I think Kurt Hawkins would be better as a tag team guy.
Yeah. But I thought this whole gimmick with the whole fact thing was working out for him, and all of a sudden, I'm just like...
It worked for Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
With the version one. Remember that gimmick?
That was great.
That was awesome. Matt Hardy likes Cheesy Puffs. So I was like, all right, that's cool. And him and Shannon Moore. That Yahoo.
And then it was also Crash, right?
Yeah, it was Crash too, yeah. Did you see Raw? I didn't see Raw. I got the recap, though, from all the fucking podcasts.
I saw Raw, and the best part of the night was the friendship.
That broke up? Yeah, we called that, though. They should have did it on a pay-per-view, but that's...
I liked it, though. You want to know why? When you see Jericho's reaction and he opens up his gift, he's like, oh, my God, you got me a new list. The other one's getting all broken up. All of a sudden, he lifts it up. He was like, but my name is on it. And then the camera kind of does a wide view, and you see KO written on it, the list of KO. And then he nailed him. I was like, wow, bro, that was fucking brilliant.
But then the inevitable happened. It's confirmed. That the title shot at Fastlane is, and you called it, and I, you know,
what did I tell you?
Now it's almost now a sure shot that Jericho's going to interfere,
of course,
and cost Kevin Owens the fucking title. And I'm having a hard time trying to grip it. Everybody's like, "Oh, Goldberg, fuck Goldberg." It's not even Goldberg. It's the fact that they're making Kevin Owens, they're making him this machine for so long now, and now he's got to, like, basically step down. Listen, if Jericho had the belt, and I know this is sad, I wouldn't have a problem with Goldberg taking it from him because of his position in the company, where KO is in the upper echelon. You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. Does that make sense? Of course.
And the only way this is going to work is if Brock just beats the living shit out of him at Mania.
Listen, like I said before, if this match, I went on a rant about this last week, and it was, let me just say that, if this match goes longer than 5 minutes, it makes Lesnar look like a piece of shit. I mean, what does that say about Lesnar? Because Goldberg beats Lesnar in a minute and what, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And then it takes Lesnar longer to beat Kevin Owens?
Yep.
It doesn't look right. It looks stupid. So for this to work, Lesnar needs to beat Goldberg at WrestleMania for the belt in less than a minute. I'm sorry. It's the only way it's going to work.
And I don't want to see the whole thing where he beats Brock at Mania, and then the next night he drops it to either Brock or somebody else.
I don't want to see that either.
Because we know the Raw that follows Mania normally is pretty good.
It is.
Right? I mean, we have a lot of time. Fastlane was it Fast Break, Fastlane?
I call it Fast Track.
Fast Track. That's right, Fast Track. Fast Track is March 5th. So you'll get your pre-show on The Rant at 7 o'clock, of course, after Surface Comic Book Show. Speaking of comic book shows, I got to give a shout-out to Jordan Cobb.
Okay.
Jordan does his thing now with the Comic Book Corner over on the Talk Brunch.
Yes.
I heard the show last night, and it's pretty good.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, so, I mean, we miss Jordan here, obviously,
mm-hmm.
On The Rant, but Jordan's doing his thing, and he always supports us. Like, always supports Turnbuckle Throwbacks, always supports The Rant, even though he's not here anymore. So, Jordan, thank you very much for the shout-out last night. We really appreciate it, and good luck in all of your good shit. You all right over there?
Fucking people on my job keep, you know, they got me one of those multimedia messages, and everyone's texting back, responding to the boss, man.
Oh, Christ.
Fucking annoying.
No barbecue today, huh?
Not today.
You fucking...
I get paid to barbecue.
He gets paid to barbecue. What a gimmick.
It's not even me. It's my boss.
What a fucking life. We're going to call you Choppy Riley.
Alcohol and fucking barbecue. Cool.
Yeah, Choppy Riley is what we're going to call you.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that. But, yeah, man. I feel bad for Kevin Owens. He's getting a shit deal, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I really, really hope that... You know what's going to happen? I'm pretty sure he's going to get the United States title at WrestleMania. Because there's no way they're going to let fucking Chris Jericho go off to the sunset without dropping that belt to Owens.
Right.
So that's probably going to happen. And then you're probably going to see another feud between Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens right after Mania for the United States title.
Yeah.
I predict that.
Yeah. I know people are crying already. I still have hope. I still have hope for WrestleMania, Choppy. I do.
I'm still waiting for Finn Balor to debut.
There's a rehab picture of him and Seth Rollins.
I saw that.
They were doing rehab, so.
But, you know, Seth Rollins looks really bad. He looked terrible, dude.
Yeah,
I feel bad for him.
I do feel bad for him.
Because he's going to probably, maybe he'll miss another Mania. We don't know. But I'm pretty sure he's not going to miss it just because he's going to train the fuck out. He's going to train to rehab that leg as fast as he can.
Yeah, yeah.
And then another thing. Did you see the little mini documentary they had on YouTube on the WWE channel?
For
Finn Balor. It was a 10-minute little thing.
No, I didn't see it. How was it?
It was pretty good. I mean, you had showing pictures of him when he was a kid. They showed stuff with him in the UK promotions. Had a couple of pictures from him in New Japan. So it was pretty cool. I think it's going to be on one of those little 24 gimmicks.
Yeah.
That was like a preview for WWE 24 on the network.
Speaking of New Japan, good segue. Mm-hmm. Kenny Omega is set to debut back, I think, this week or next week for New Japan.
Awesome.
So he's back in the fold. I think he's doing a program with Kota Ibushi, I think. And then he'll probably go back for the title. So, and I have no issues with that.
Why would he go for Ibushi, though?
I think they want to tear it up. You know? I think, you know, New Japan works a little differently than WWE and everybody else. Now they have everybody's attention. It's okay, what are we going to do to be different or showcase the talent? That's fine. I mean, as long as the end result is him winning the belt, I have no issues with what he's doing right now.
Like you said before, if he does not win this belt within the year...
No. He's got to be champion before next year, dude.
He has to.
He has to be.
And then he has to win the title this year and then drop it at the next Wrestle Kingdom.
And then show up on NXT.
Yes! Absolutely.
Yeah. Because they're gonna need it. You know, Nakamura at that point should be called up, hopefully. Joe's already up. Bobby Roode's going to hold it down for a minute there, though.
Speaking of which, that's a nice little segue.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know if anybody heard the rumors now. Supposedly, after Mania, Triple H is going to have a nice little faction to protect his ass. Because I don't know if this is true or not, but he's thinking about having... I hope it's like an NXT invasion. So we're planning on having Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens kind of protect Triple H in the foreseeable future. But I also think there's going to be like an NXT invasion going on. And you might see Raw versus NXT. I don't know.
You know what pisses me off about that, though?
Tell me.
They don't like fucking factions, but Triple H gets a faction. Like, come on, man. You don't like factions no more. There's no crew. You wouldn't do Bullet Club. The Four Horsewomen, they didn't want to do that. Like... What the fuck, dude? Like, now all of a sudden Triple H says, I want a faction. I'm the gamer. Lick my balls.
You know what it is? I think Triple H is getting more hold on the company now after Mania. I think, but it looks like Vince is really stepping down now because...
Your word to God's ears, man.
I hope it's a true... I love factions. You know me.
I
know you do because you're a horseman guy.
I'm a horseman guy.
Bullet Club, NWO, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course. DX. Yeah, absolutely.
And to me, a faction is needed sometimes to help build new stars. What do you think?
If they do it like that, I have zero issues with it. Because that's how Wade Barrett and all those guys got, you know, Daniel Bryan and, you know, those guys, they were in that little faction he had. Was that Nexus?
Yeah, it was,
The
Hairspray?
Yeah, right, yeah. But they got pushed after that, so.
I mean, who really got, a lot of those guys got a little bit of a raw deal, if you think about it.
No, yeah, they did, but, I mean, Ryback, Wade Barrett, all those guys got pushed. They were champions. I mean, you can't knock that. You know, Daniel Bryan became world champion.
He was the most successful one out of the whole group.
Right, right. But they all got pushed. CM Punk, they all got pushed.
Yeah. But, I don't know.
So, yeah. And speaking of the of Triple H, Lemmy is rumored to be getting into the Hall of Fame this year.
I have zero issues with that. I hope he gets in.
Oh, yeah.
He did so much for that company.
Him and Triple H were buddies. And he did the music for Evolution, did the music for Triple H. It was one of my favorite entrances of all time is Triple H's music, The Game. I love that
song. Yeah, it's a good song. He also did the King of Kings theme song. King of Kings.
Bow down to them!
There it is.
Yeah. I love it. Listen, Motorhead does no wrong. Motorhead is amazing. And every metal band on the planet has covered their songs. Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, they have all paid homage to the fucking mighty Lemmy and Motorhead.
Ace of Spades is still their best song.
Ace of Spades. No Voices in the Sky. I like No Voices in the Sky. I like Overkill. There's a bunch of songs.
Did they ever cover Enter Sandman?
He covered Enter Sandman, yes.
That was good,
For the ECW album.
Yeah, man. That was great.
Say your prayers, little one. Don't forget my son.
You actually pretty good.
Yeah, I practiced Lemmy. I drank a lot and did Lemmy in the bar, but... Lemmy's iconic. If you're a metal guy like I am, I know Matt from Shining Wizards. He can concur with this. I saw Motorhead and Dio open for Iron Maiden in 2003 at Jones Beach, one of the greatest shows I've ever been to in my life.
How was Iron Maiden? Really?
Oh my god, dude!
Ugh,
dude, amazing! Fucking and then Dio? Are you kidding me? And then Motorhead? I was shaking in my fucking seat, bro. It was like they all could have been headliners. It was insane.
And this is where? Jones Beach?
This was Jones Beach. Right. Jones Beach. And Metallica's touring, but they're playing on Mother's Day. I can't go to the Mother's Day show. I'd be kind of fucked up. I want to go the next night in Nassau Coliseum.
Are they opening that place up again?
They did.
No way.
If you want to go, man, we should get tickets to go see Metallica.
They opened up the Nassau. I thought they were done with that place.
No, they redid it.
What?
Yeah, man.
Oh my god, I'm happy about that now.
If you want to go, we should go, man. I want to see Metallica puts on a really good show. their last album, that Death Magnetic, when they toured.
Yeah.
The opening band sucked balls. It was like this band called Sword.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah. Not a fan. But
they're okay.
If people like that Avenged Sevenfold, I'm not a big fan of them, but they're Metallica marks. So I'm pretty sure they're gonna come correct. And and listen, before we take a break, I want to get into the Grammys real quick. I'm not a Grammys guy because they pretty much, when I was a kid, they outlawed hip hop. Like hip hop wasn't a notoriety; it was like a notoriety to them, and metal was an afterthought. Like as much as I love Jethro Tull, they beat Metallica when the Black Album came out, and it was unheard of. Like Jethro Tull, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And when they finally won, we want to thank Jethro Tull for not making another album. You know? But you can't judge Metallica for a mic issue with Lady Gaga. She's a metalhead. She loves metal. She goes to shows. There's a picture of her a couple months ago on Instagram with Charlie and Scott from Anthrax.
Yeah.
So, and she's multifaceted. Lady Gaga is...
She got some pipes on her.
She's a trendsetter. So when she did Moth to a Flame, I jumped out of my bed. I was like, whoa, she's going to do it? And then when James couldn't sing the parts, it was a little lackluster. But that was, if that would have been executed properly, I would have enjoyed it. And I got shit for her on Facebook, and I don't care. I'm showing my age. I'm getting old.
Listen, a lot of people give Lady Gaga a lot of shit. I'm not the biggest Lady Gaga fan. I think she's a great artist, a great singer. If you ever see her cover songs, I think she's a much better cover artist than she is, because I don't like her work, her music, but she's a very good cover artist.
She did the, what'd she do? She did the...
David Bowie.
Yeah, but no, she did the standards, like the, with the, didn't she do a song with Tony Bennett?
Yeah, she did.
The whole standards thing?
Yeah, she was good on that.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of talent.
So... It is what it is. Trying to think if there's anything else I want to talk about.
All I know is that in 2 weeks, Logan comes out.
Oh, yeah. You're excited about Logan.
Oh, dude.
I saw it again this morning.
Did you see the Red Band trailer?
I did.
My God.
I did.
That girl is going to be awesome as X-23.
Yeah. I told Wifey this morning it's going to be a good movie season.
It is.
And now that I live near that theater, I'm going to be living near that theater with the cushioned seats. We can go over there.
I was there last week.
I know.
Oh, did I tell you what I went to go see last week, of all things?
No, you didn't.
I went to go see Darker Shades of Diarrhea.
Wife, you wouldn't see that?
Ugh.
I didn't see the first one.
Okay. I had to take a couple of bullets for this one, because I've taken her to a lot of shitty movies that she's done that she's never wanted to see.
Yeah.
And now it's my turn to take the bullets. I saw, like, the week before that, I went to go see A Dog's Purpose, which was not a bad movie. I like dog movies. They're not.
Okay.
And then last week we went to go see, what is it called? This 50 Darker, whatever it was called.
50 Darker Shades of Your Sister's Gray.
Yeah, something like that.
Sister's Gray Hair.
And, oh my God, it was so bad. But you want to know something? It made the wifey happy.
Oh, no, yeah, that's the whole point, obviously.
And then I saw the whole billboard for Logan 3. I was like, okay, you put me through those fucking movies. We're going to see Power Rangers. We're definitely going to go see Beauty and the Beast, because I'm a Disney mark.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast we're going to see. We're going to see Spider-Man. We're going to see
By the way, Spider-Man is going to be fucking dope.
I don't want to hear it.
It's going to be
fucking dope. As long as Sony still has it, I don't want to fucking get my hopes up, man.
It's going to be great.
I'm not getting my hopes up, because you know I'm a Spidey guy.
It's Cinematic Universe. Marvel Cinematic Universe, Spidey.
I'm telling you, and Tank, if you're listening, I know you're listening, Tank. Tank was... my aficionado on Spidey. So whatever I didn't know, Tank knew way before I did. We've been shitting on Spider-Man movies for like a decade now.
All right, so Sam Raimi movies, did you like them?
I liked the first two.
The third one's terrible, I know that.
Okay. And then I don't need another fucking...
reboot.
I don't need it. I know the story. People know the story.
But that's why they're not doing an origin story now.
I don't want another fucking origin story.
They're not doing it.
I don't want it.
What's good? I don't know if you know the villains already, but I do. It's fucking...
Oh, good. Sinister Six, right?
Half of them are going to be in there.
So is it?
So far we got Michael Keaton as the Vulture.
I have no problem with that.
Fucking dope.
I like the Vulture, yep.
They're going to have, what's his name? It's going to be two guys playing the same character.
What, Electro? Oh, no.
Shocker.
Oh, oh no. Jamie Foxx was Electro, wasn't he?
Jamie Foxx was Electro in the Sony version.
In the Sony version, yeah.
So there's going to be two guys. I think this was going to, like, one guy's going to be testing out the Shocker equipment. The second guy is going to be the real Shocker.
Who is?
It's this, I don't know the guy's name. He's some new guy. He's been doing stuff for a while now. The first guy is the guy from Jamie Foxx, the Ray movie. The black dude that does heroin.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing
the jazz guy.
Yeah, he's playing Shocker.
Okay. I have no problem with that.
I have no problem with it either. There's going to be a second guy who plays Montana, who was like part of that trio group that tries to kill Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I forgot the whole...
Know who needs to come make an appearance in one of these Spider movies? Kraven. Remember Kraven?
The
jungle guy?
The hunter?
Yeah. Oh, God. They were good stories, man.
And there's another character that's going to be popping up. You know Ned Leeds?
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of the reporters?
Yes.
Okay. He's in this movie. Now, if he's in this movie...
He's going to be a villain.
He's definitely going to be Hobgoblin. And I love Hobgoblin.
I think that's how it was in the book, too. After the Osborns were...
First it was him, and then it's Jason McIndale, and then it's Ben Kingsley. Who's
yes.
Like, oh, not Ben Kingsley. Roger Kingsley.
Roger Kingsley. I know who you meant. He's fucking Ben Kingsley.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley's in the comic book. No, I know who you meant it.
But I want to see Carnage.
There's been four different Hobgoblins. That's counting Harry Osborn, right?
We have Green Goblin.
No, but not Green Goblin. Hobgoblin.
Oh, you mean like four characters?
No, four different people.
Yes. Jason, it's been Ned Leeds, Jason Philip McIndale, Roderick Kingsley, and yep. I believe there was an Osborn who, Harry Osborn's son.
Right, yes. Yes. So there's four. There's four. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I wish Tank was
there.
Damn, here.
I know all this. I remember most of this.
You
stuff,
know, Tank would say, Tank would be like.
Yeah, he just, like this.
Like
yeah,
that's how he rattled them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no issues with that.
I think the Spider-Man, I think Tank would be happy with this movie. I think it's going to be great.
Like, there's a lot of guys I want to see. I want to see Mysterio. I want to see Kraven.
I want to see Carnage.
But Carnage, you got to see, because they tried doing Venom.
It was shit.
And they tried, and I was like, oh. And the guy who played him wasn't bad.
No, he's terrible. Are you crazy? They needed a roided up motherfucker to be Venom. Come on.
They should have just... gave him a fucking better... I thought the CGI wasn't good. I don't know.
I think the guy who played Sandman should have been Venom.
Oh, that's the guy from...
Thomas Church.
That's the guy from Wings.
Yes.
He played Lowell.
He should have been Eddie Brock.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think he should have been Eddie Brock. But he was a good Sandman.
Yeah, no, I like Sandman. It was a good character. Very complex. That's what I love about Spider-Man. All the characters are complex.
What other movies are coming out?
Wonder Woman.
Ugh.
No! Don't say ugh till you see it, man,
ugh.
Dude. I'm telling you, she's gonna fucking blow it up.
DC Cinematic Universe can suck a big fat.
I'm telling you, they're gonna get better.
Did you hear who's gonna be directing Suicide Squad 2?
I don't want to hear it, I hope it's not him, the fucking Jew hater, Mel Gibson.
It's Mr. Anti-Semitic himself, Mel Gibson.
See, I can't support that.
That's what I hear.
I'll have to bootleg it. If he directs that movie, I don't like fucking anti-Semites, man.
Me neither.
I don't. I will not go to that movie. I won't pay for it. I'll bootleg it. I'll download it. And that's a shoot, kids. That's a shoot.
What about what do you think about just? Oh, that's another thing. Did you hear that Ben Affleck wants to pull out of Batman?
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that.
What do you think about that?
I don't care, because the Bale of Batman was so bad, that. They have to see if DC wants to salvage. First of all, if Wonder Woman is bad, like you say, it's going to be bad. Then they need to make that. Then somebody has to come correct for that Batman movie. She may save the whole movie universe if that movie's good, and they find somebody who's going to be subpar for directing Batman.
Here's my issue with this movie. This movie should have came out. The Wonder Woman movie should have came out before Batman vs Superman. Because this movie is set in World War One or Two, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah. Correct?
Okay, that should be the first movie. And then it should have transitioned into Batman versus Superman, where she pops up.
Right.
And then they should go to Justice League.
They try getting everything out of the way.
Well, like, what the fuck? I mean, you got to keep in mind, Marvel has done 10 years worth of planning for what we're about to witness next year.
Yeah, Guardians 2 is coming out,
yeah.
Too. Yeah.
There's 10 years worth of planning.
But they're going to do... Listen, they're going to do the Infinity Gauntlet.
Which I can't wait.
Right? But then DC might do the Crisis and kill all these fuckers off. That's going to take about 3 or 4, 5 years at least.
Yeah, but why are you going to do Crisis?
Because they want to fucking... They don't want to take 10 years like Marvel did. So if they do it right... I'm being optimistic because I want DC to come correct. The animated stuff is good. I just saw Justice League Dark. I downloaded it.
It's good?
It's pretty good.
I gotta
check
it out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, so let's take a quick break.
Let's come back.
I've got a kick-ass throwback for you. And then we'll wrap it up and, you know, like we always do. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're live on, well, we're pre-recorded live on the rant. And Lord Alfred Hayes is going to take us into the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God. I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political gumfuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
This is original Globe Girl Little Egypt, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
Yo.
Metallica. I'm on a Metallica kick lately.
Nothing wrong with that.
Then when they heard they were torn, I'm like, oh, they put on a good show, those fucking geriatrics.
I really liked them though when they were younger though.
Well, you were only a toddler when they fucking came out with the quote unquote sellout album.
Yeah. I mean, well, wait a minute, the Black Album?
Yeah.
That was what year?
91.
I was 7.
Yeah. Oh, you were a child.
I was a child. But...
I started listening to Metallica when Master of Puppets came out, and that was their third album already. So I had to go back, and I was like 86, 87, and then when Injustice for All came out, my fucking world changed. That was like a double album. Oh. That fucking album was so good.
Do you miss those double albums? Because you don't see that anymore.
No. I don't miss flipping the albums and stuff. I don't miss flipping tapes over, warping tapes. Yeah. I'm kind of happy with technology right now. Don't get me wrong. They'll be like, we're starting to collect vinyl again, which is cool.
By the way, did you know that you have like a record store?
That's down
like,
a block.
Yeah, I've never been. How was it?
It's great. I mean, they have cheap stuff there. And every year now, in April, they have this thing called National Record Day. And new artists, like Adele has her new album on vinyl.
Wow.
Metallica has theirs on vinyl. Okay. Iron Maiden, you know. So you could buy new vinyl, old vinyl. I bought I Am The Man on 12-inch from Anthrax. It was like the rap song they did back in the day. But on the B-side is a fucking, they do a Black Sabbath cover of Sabbath, Buddy Sabbath.
Okay.
Which I knew because I had the cassette single.
Gotcha.
Now I'm showing my age.
Oh, Philly, you're not old. Stop.
Oh, no. No. I am old. I'm middle aged now.
Will you stop?
I'm sorry, I am.
Oh, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Oh, no. See, all this racist talk.
Booker T. Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Yeah.
I'm talking about. I got my, where'd you get that fucking sound clip?
I got it from a Negro.
That's right.
What you say? Put that one on.
Which one?
What you say?
Oh, and on Esther?
Yeah.
What did you say, nigga?
I'm sorry.
And I have a new...
Jesus!
But I have to burn it. Oh, yeah, I have to...
You got that one already with Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, Nick German Suplex sent me the video.
Dude, when I saw that, I was like, this is priceless. This
yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we got to make another soundbite.
Of,
I am the king of bacon.
Once he loses...
Well, not that. We got to do a George the Animal Steel.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Kangaroo.
We got to do one of that. I'm sorry. That was...
He stinks, and I don't like him.
I hear retards like the zoo.
Hey, Rock.
What? Hey, she's retarded. She ain't retarded. She's shy, huh? I'll
tell you what to do. Take it to the zoo.
Hey,
retards like the zoo.
Oh my god! I never get tired of that line. It's great.
You like this hat?
You better like.
You better like this hat. That's no lie.
Okay, terrific.
All right, enough.
Oh god, that was so funny. I heard retards like the zoo. That's terrible, man. One of the Teamsters. I was told him. I told him that line. He was like, "Yeah, that's from Rocky One. That's the greatest line in the world." Oh, man.
Hey, Rock. I heard she's retarded. She's not retarded. She's shy. What? Do this. Take her to the zoo. I heard retards like the zoo. Hey, is Bum going to talk to me like that?
Oh, my God.
All right. Are you ready for our throwback this week?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she chopped me. Can't stop laughing.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
You got out of your system, partner?
Yeah, now some decor, please. Some professionalism.
Oh, boy.
Oof. Wow. I promised myself I wouldn't say anything about retards or anything like that, and lo and behold, it happened again.
Hey, yo.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott. All right. Anyway, so we were talking about Steamboat and Flair a couple months ago, right?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, like in 89, between 89 and 91 was the transition from NWA to WCW.
Yep.
So they're still...
Transition mode.
Right. Tully and Arn at this point are out of the company. They're the Brainbusters.
Yeah, they're which is not bad. There's nothing wrong with that.
Hiro Matsuda was
the manager.
Was the manager. But he had Wyndham, he had Flair, he had Butch Reed. Like, can you imagine if Butch Reed was a horseman? That would have been dope.
Ugh.
You like Butch Reed, right? Nobody likes Butch Reed but me.
I'm sorry.
I know. No, don't be sorry. We can't agree on everything. It wouldn't be a good show. But I'm the only one who likes fucking...
I think Scott Casey was better than...
Scott Casey.
Oh, Steve Casey. I'm sorry. Is it Steve Casey?
No, it's Steve Casey.
We're part of the famous Casey family.
He's a poor man Lex Luger, fucking Steve Casey.
Bro.
He put on a good match. We'll talk about it in a minute. So, I want to play for you... This is Clash of the Champions, February 15, 1989, from Cleveland, Ohio. Your hosts are Jim Ross and Magnum TA, but Miss Magnum TA, oh, poor Magnum. Magnum, this is after the accident. So he's got the one arm, he's slopped, but he's doing the commentating now, and you can tell, like, the one arm is, like, still dead. And I'm like, oh, man. And just looking at Magnum just depressed me through this whole thing.
And he's not a very good announcer, I feel.
Well,
so.
Well, no, they threw him a bone because he was supposed to be the next guy. Like, you have to understand something. And we've talked about this with, I've talked about this for a couple of years now. You know, if not for that accident, things would have been totally different.
I agree.
Would have been world champion several times.
Yes.
Flair may have not have gone anywhere. Dusty would have still had the book, possibly. I'm going as far as saying that Jim Crockett wouldn't have sold fucking the Turner.
Do you think we would have had the Horseman?
I think so.
Really?
I think Magnum TA's title run would have impacted everybody. It would have broke the Horseman up because Tully would have wanted a shot.
Yeah.
Tully and Arn would have turned on Flair and Wyndham. It would have been a fucking melee. It would have been awesome. And Dusty would have still had the book.
You know what's sad, though, is that he was still very young when that accident happened. I think he was like 24.
I forget, but like
so young.
Seeing him there like this, though, with the one arm drooping. Yeah.
You know how old he was over here? He was 30.
Right.
He was only 30. I feel so bad.
No, so he was only 28 when that accident happened.
Yeah.
Right. So, either way, I mean, because he was a bad announcer, I think you look at him like, oh, man. If he was a good announcer, I wouldn't, like, you know, Jim Ross is a great announcer, so when he had the stroke, nobody cared he had the Bell's palsy in his face.
No, he was
when
so great.
When he talked about that, he was trying Oklahoma, blah, 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 blah. But nobody cared that he did that because he's fucking Jim Ross.
Yeah.
Magnum TA does. You're like, oh, get this fucking Jamook off the TV, you know?
Poor Tom Selleck.
Poor
I'm sorry. None for you, Higgins.
None for you, Higgins. You can take your macadamia nuts and stick them in your ass. You Jamook.
Oh, man.
Right, so this was WCW Saturday Night, and this sets up Flair calling out Steamboat. So let's go to Jim Ross and well, you know what? You want to open up first, and then we'll go to the Flair stuff.
Yeah, let's open up first with the
before Flair comes out with this. I'll do that. Okay. So, all right. So your first match of the night was the Midnight Express versus the Russian Assassins with Paul Jones.
Can I say something? I didn't.
You can.
Like for whatever reason, the network didn't put the ending of the match on for me. Like I didn't get to see the ending of the match. Did they do the rocket launcher? Because it got to a point where I was watching it.
They did the rocket launcher.
Yeah, but it got to a point where I was watching on a network. They cut it to where, you know, Bobby Eaton gets the tag, the hot tag. And then all of a sudden, it just went to somewhat of a commercial. And then I see Ricky Steamboat doing an interview with, was it Bob Caudle?
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? What happened to the ending of the match? So I'm assuming they hit the rocket launcher and win the match. Because I know Paul Heyman was like, they're talking trash about Cornette throughout the whole match, but I didn't get to see the ending of it. But it was a good match. It wasn't bad.
I'm going to do you a solid.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to get you the ending of this.
Sweet. It was a good match. I was very very happy with it.
Let's see. No. His droopy arm.
Perfect mullet, by the way. Yeah, the network pisses me off when they don't put the right music on.
Yeah. It's Sweet Stan. It's sexy fuck.
Sweet Stan Lane.
Paul Jones taking his fucking...
Paul Jones looks so old. Poor guy.
Yeah, he does. I want to give a shout out to... Jack Victory, who's actually Russian Assassin number 2.
Yes, yeah, I forgot about that, yes.
And
right.
He's also, somebody else talk about that in a minute.
Yeah,
he's
later on.
All right, let's talk about this at the end of it. Come on, this fucking thing. Slow as shit.
I'm assuming Jack Victory is the more muscular one?
The more bulkier one.
The bulky one?
There's what they did.
Yeah, see, you know, you see what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, here we go.
Okay, so let's do this.
Right
you want
there.
The end of it?
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
Okay, hold on a second. See, Daily Motion coming correct. Okay, so before I play it, we'll go into a little bit. The Assassins using the lookalike chicanery.
Yes, they switch. They switch throughout the match without tagging.
Stan Lane looking like Lex Luger.
Dude.
Right?
He was in shape, man.
Paulie, like Choppy said on commentary, said the Russians' offense is horrible. By the way, they missed the Russian missile. Number two whips number one into the corner.
Yep.
To squash the opponent, but misses. Eaton gets a tag in, and then this happens.
That's the right way. And Bobby Eaton, full of fire, and he's hammering those right hands. He's got those Russians. They were flying around the ring, the big man. Double bulldog, Bobby Eaton, turning it on here.
That's it. I don't need to watch any more of this. I'm leaving. I'm calling Dennis and Randy. Jim Cornette, Monday night, my man. You're out, a professional wrestler.
Jim, he just threw beautiful Bobby over the top rope. That should have been a disqualification right there.
Stan Lane with those karate kicks. Indeed, you're right. Bobby Eaton up on top. Here he comes. Beautiful Bobby Eaton. Lateral press. And Jim Cornette, Midnight Express, with a resounding victory here in Cleveland.
Yeah, buddy.
Situation, got things set up. That big kick of his, I mean, a beautiful karate kick. And there he is, the assassin, laid out in a totally helpless situation. The beautiful Bobby going to the top. The Pat just rocket launcher.
Oh, Bobby, shut up, Magnum, you fucking dildo.
I love the match.
Really, the match is good. Paul Jones always had a good army with him. He had the Russians, he had Powers of Pain, he had a bunch of guys.
He was just old. Done with him.
Number one, Paul Jones, former tag team champion with Ricky Steamboat.
I know. But, you know, another thing, I have a couple questions. Was Stan Lane really a martial artist?
Yes.
He was. Okay.
That's all he was.
I didn't know he was a martial artist. He had a sweet looking super kick.
Yes.
I really liked it a lot.
No, Stan Lane is the man, dude. Don't get it twisted.
And then the other question is, how come the Earl of Eaton didn't really get a proper push as a single star? Because I thought he was really good.
No, he did. He was TV champ.
I know, but after that was it. Because he had to drop it to Austin.
He drops the belt to Austin, and he became a tag team wrestler again. Listen, at that point, it was WCW. I can't. I don't want to make shit up and go, well, they did this because of this. I don't know why. They gave Bobby his due. Once Jim Cornette comes off his fucking high horse, they'll be in the Hall of Fame. They're going to get their due. Jim Cornette is so fucking anti-establishment right now that it pisses me off that Bobby and Stan should be, I want to see them get in before I fucking lose total interest in this, you know, which I probably will never do.
Of course not. It's wrestling. Come
yeah,
on.
Right, exactly. Who am I fooling, you fucking idiot, Phil? No, seriously. You know, Midnight Express, top three favorite tag teams of all time. You can't. Bobby and Stan are up there somewhere. They have to.
I actually think they're much better than the Rock and Roll Express. I know a lot of people. Look, they're.
It's debatable. That's the.
They're going to the Hall of Fame. The Rock and Roll Express.
God bless them.
Great. I
they're still wrestling,
dude. We saw them at freaking
against the Briscoes.
Yeah. What the fuck? They're still doing
and
it.
And the Briscoes' job to them.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I mean, what was it? What's his name? Is 60 years old? Robert Gibson has to be at least a little bit younger than whatever.
Than Ricky Morton.
Ricky Morton. I still think Midnight Express is much better.
They're all my favorite.
I love them a lot more.
Because by the time I got into the NWA, the Midnights were the Rock and Roll Express were just losing the belts. So they had a huge feud with Ole and Arn, and then Arn and Tully. And then that was it for them.
I still think that's their most famous feud is Midnight Express versus the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, but then they had the remember this? The Fantastics.
Yes.
They come in and
freaking rip off of the Rock and Roll Express, I'm sorry.
Right, but very fluid. And then this is where the US title, the US tag title comes in because now all these mid card teams are like, you know, whatever, but and then the Varsity Club, and we'll get into that in a little while. But so after the match, before the second match, Ricky Steamboat comes out with his kid, Richie, who's a fucking toddler at this point.
Yeah, he was.
Let's go to Geriatric Bob. You want to talk about Geriatric Bob Cottle's 106 in this fucking video.
Yeah.
Here's the number one contender for the most prestigious championship in the world. the NWA Heavyweight Championship, the number one contender, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and Little Dragon.
I'm the Little Dragon. How you doing,
Rick,
Bob?
Fine. First of all, Rick, what brings the Dragon to the NWA?
Well, I think right now, as a father, and I'm sure there's a lot of dads out there that's got little dragons at home, that the main reason that I'm coming
dragon.
Back to the NWA, and thanks to the,
I have a big
to the Turner people,
in my pants,
I get a chance to go for the NWA title, and I think the main reason is being a father to secure my son's future. I've got a golden opportunity here to go out there, along with the support of the American public, and to show that the family way, the unit, to get together and unite, the fight against drugs and all the corruption that's out there, that it's about time that the United States pulls together with their family and loved ones. And with this little guy right here, I've got that golden opportunity to secure it.
But with the greatest challenge of your career facing you on Monday night, why wrestle tonight? Why do you risk an injury, Rick?
It's all a part of professional wrestling. I'm having a bunch of what I consider tune-up matches. And a match that I'm having here tonight is what I consider a tune-up match, getting ready for my big match with Ric Flair Monday night in Chicago.
By the way, I think
referring
also,
to Wrestle War,
we've
United.
Got some to look at some film. Let's, I think of what happened in a match, right, Rick?
Let's roll it and just show the fans here exactly what happened. You know something, Ric Flair, and if you're listening back there in the monitor, it seems as though that every time you stick your nose into somebody else's business, you seem to get the worst end of the stick. Now, I'm not bragging. If you don't believe me, you can just watch the camera that's sitting in your locker room right now. You came out after I had had three wrestlers at one time going through a workout and just started to intimidate me, take me beyond the point, and try to insult me and show everybody that who is number one. Well, you brought yourself into the ring, and as you can see right here, I got a piece of that $100 shirt. And I'm telling you, Nature Boy, if you're listening to me, don't interfere with this match that I'm having tonight. This is a tune-up match. You and I are going to lock horns Monday night in Chicago.
All right, fans, you know, I don't think going into a big event that any wrestler or any Maddie in the world really could have more motivation.
You said Wrestle War, right? I think it's Chi-Town.
Oh, yeah, Chi-Town Rumble.
Yeah,
sorry.
No,
thanks for correcting me. I'm fucking tired. All right, well, that was fun.
I feel bad for, Richie Steamboat. And the guy, he could have been good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was just injury bug.
Very injury prone, yeah.
Want to talk about Steve Casey?
Yes, please. Part of the famous Casey family.
So, allegedly, he was undefeated going into this match.
Mm, okay.
Okay.
Maybe undefeated in house shows.
Butch Reed returning to the NWA after a few years in WWF as the Natural. In an interesting bit of continuity, Reed feuded with JYD before JYD departed for WWF. When Reed joined NWA, he immediately started a feud with Junkyard Dog.
Yeah.
All Mid-Southing all over again. After nearly 5 years. Speaking of things that lasting 5 years, this match. This match was fucking forever for some reason.
Yeah, it did take a while.
So, and there's people kissing in the audience.
There was a little boy giving the four horsemen sign during the match.
Yeah, little boy giving a sign.
This guy looked like Luger, bro. Look at his physique.
Yeah. So, let's get into this match. Hold on a second. Is this match? This is not over yet, right? Still going? Okay,
still going.
So at one point, you know, Casey was solid in the ring.
I didn't know much about this guy.
Actually. No, he's just a journeyman,
just a jobber.
Yeah, but they wanted to give him a push, and Butch Reed was, again, coming back, so they had to throw him with somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Waiting to team him up with Ron Simmons.
Doom.
Doom comes very quickly after this.
Did you notice who's the referee in this match?
Of course, Teddy Long, Peanut Head.
With no teeth in all.
With no teeth assist in all. So now there's a power struggle going on. The match was okay. It was solid. I just want to get to the end. At one point, Butch Reed has the half clutch on him. You know, trying to make him humble. Yeah. One second. Yeah. Well, come on, man. I found Daily Motion because the network takes too long to fast forward. So I didn't make it. I didn't have time to make audio clips this week. So, and here it is.
He's going to soar from the top rope. A big shoulder pop from the top. And the Brick House from Missouri has just pinned. One, two, three, reach the women.
ladies and gentlemen, the winner, Hacksaw Butch Reed.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand his greatness because he was a veteran at this point.
Oh, no, he's been wrestling since the 70s.
Exactly.
Point, you know?
So he was a monster. Like, he was a big dude out here.
Oh, well, before we get into this.
Oh, this is great.
Before we get into this, we need to get into this first. Like I said, this is Saturday before. He cuts a promo on Saturday night. It's fucking awesome. This is awesome. Let's play it, shall we?
Please.
I hope. And I mean this sincerely, that we can have a civil conversation here tonight on this program.
Well, let me be the first to apologize to you and to anybody else. If I upset the people in this great production, that's something I'll have to live with. Because as I said this morning, and I'll say tomorrow or any other time I feel like it, because when you're Ric Flair, you can say no wrong. The bottom line is, all these morons get it. The bottom line is, Steamboat, you're back in NWA. You have gone out of your way with the help of the professional people here at TBS. And I'm talking to you, Ross, to embarrass me and to make me look bad. That's almost an impossibility. As you can see, I am still, woo, custom made.
Woo!
I am still riding in long limousines. I am flying in private Lear jets. I ride around in the company of some of the wealthiest people in the world. And as I said before, Steamboat, you are the kind of man that personally I don't like. For openers, you're a one-woman man. I like all kinds of women. Number two, I like to walk out here and talk about life as it is. Life in the fast lane. That spells out Ric Flair, the Nature Boy.
Woo!
Bottom line, the 20th of this month. And I want to say to you, if you make it to the 20th, Monday night, Chi-Town Rumble, pal, you have got to beat the world's heavyweight champion. No talk, no brag, nothing right here, no tag team match. You and me, all alone, you have got to beat the world's heavyweight champion. And you know what, brother? That's going to be a big job for you. And I'll tell you something else, Ross and Ted Turner and all these other idiots. If I want to walk the streets of Atlanta, Georgia with LaToya Jackson, I'll do it because I'm
Ric Flair. Woo!
Well, fans, he'll be with us Wednesday night in Chicago.
How could Hiro Matsuda have such a straight face throughout the whole promo?
Woo! When you get on Space Mountain, you'll be like this.
Hiro Matsuda was so straight-faced throughout that whole promo.
He barely spoke English, that's why.
Poor guy.
Fuck him. Fuck him. Flair comes out with his harem. And I say harem, he had a bunch of chick with a fresh fur coat. Calls out Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, boy.
Let's get into that.
This was great.
Let's see. Where is Steamboat? Is he here yet? Hold on a second. Let me just hit that. He calls him out. Here he comes. Yeah, Steamboat comes out now. Hiro Matsuda. There's like five chicks in the ring. Flair's rocking a fucking fur coat, a $10,000 black fur coat. Here comes Steamboat, looking all sorts of karate. Looks like one of them karate fighter figures, action figures.
If it isn't mom's apple pie, what do you say, big man? You've got to be bored to death. The same woman every night.
Wow, bro.
You don't like us, buddy, but this is what being the world champion is all about. Yeah. Problem?
Don't ever make the mistake of not looking me in the eye when I'm talking to you in front of my special people. I'm telling you right now, pal, you in front of this whole nation right now can walk away from Monday night and do yourself a favor. Because, buddy, if you think I'm riding high in the saddle now, after I beat you Monday night, buddy, what do you think about that, Dragon? Hey, has that cat got your tongue? Huh? Is there a problem? You want to address your public? Come on.
I despise what you represent, Ric Flair. I despise everything that you like, everything that you do, the way you represent the National Wrestling Alliance as a champion.
He puts the coat on one of his honeys.
You really despise that $10,000 mink coat, huh?
$10,000.
Wouldn't you like to have one of those, pal? Don't you despise this $1,500 custom-made silk suit? Would you like to have one of those? Not a chance. That's what being the world champion is all about. I'm a diversified businessman, pal. You, my friend, are on the outside looking in.
You know something, Ric Flair? The difference between you and me and the bulk of the fans here tonight is the fact that you represent all the evil materialistic things in this world today rather than the family union.
I was booing Steve.
Hey, girls, I want you to take one last look at what a loser looks like. Why don't you go home and help the missus with the dishes, pal? I'm going downtown.
That point, Steamboat and Flair go into it. Flair assaults him. Steamboat fights back, rips off all his clothes.
I think Hiromatsuda gets involved too. What is this old ass trying to do?
Matsuda tries to get involved, but he gets fucking chopped in the face for his effort. Bob Caudle's like, I don't know what to do. I'm old. See, now Bob Caudle should be out of the ring at this point.
Yeah, what is he doing?
He's just trying to get a TV time, this geriatric nightmare.
That's terrible. Before, last week it was about retards. This week it's about old men.
Listen, you brought the retards up. I was fine when not talking about the retards.
Couldn't help it.
Yeah, no, you couldn't help it. Then we're gonna get the fucking retard police not coming after us again.
I'm sorry, guys.
You're taking that Facebook quote if that comes out. I took the last one. You're taking this one. But so this turns again. Steamboat and Flair are magic in the ring. So this just sets up a wonderful fucking couple of matches. Wrestle War was the second match they fought.
Yes,
this was Chi-Town Rumble.
What I didn't like about this whole feud was that, not that I don't like it, it didn't bother me, but like even Flair mentions it in his book that he was too much of a goody two shoes that people start to boo him more. And it cheered for Flair more than Steamboat. So it was just like, and even Flair went up to him and was like, bro, you need to lose your wife, lose your kid for now, and start sounding more like a badass, because I'm getting cheered and you're getting booed and you're the good guy.
Steamboat was never a heel.
I know.
Was never.
Exactly, but he was getting booed.
I understand that, but when you're the face.
That's what I love the NWA fans.
Though. Oh no, yeah, they're best.
Great.
So, you want to talk about the blackmailer?
Yeah, sure. Mr. Jack Victory doing double duty,
managed by Hiro Matsuda,
which is hilarious.
Right. Jack Victory is the real MVP of Clash of the Champions 5. By the way,
I hope he got double pay for this.
I'm sure he did. However, the costumes they gave him were fucking atrocious. This blackmailer costume.
What? I know.
He looks like a fat Lasertron. Remember Lasertron, who was Chavo Guerrero? Or Hector Guerrero?
Yes, I do remember that.
With Jimmy Valiant?
Yes.
He looks like a fat Lasertron. Hiro Matsuda just looks like, an old Japanese guy who should be selling fucking, who works in the mall.
Even Flair said that Hiro Matsuda was terrible in that role. poor Hiro.
Mr. Matsuda.
Mr. Yamasaki Corporation.
Yamasaki Corporation. This match went on for way too long, Choppy.
Yeah, it did.
Way too long.
It's your favorite wrestler, too, Luger.
The package.
Yeah. What is this, pea brain, but great body or something? Whatever you said.
No, he's a $1 million body with a $5 brain.
There it is.
All right.
Look, it looks like Steve Casey.
If Steve Casey and Stan Lane had a love child, it'd be Lex Luger.
Oh, my God.
And now the next match, ladies and gentlemen from the City of Angels.
Do it.
Tommy Rogers. Bobby Fulton. The Fantastics.
Very nice.
Yes. Fighting one of my favorite tag teams of all time, the Varsity Club.
I know you love
the fucking Varsity.
You were a Kevin Sullivan guy through, man.
Just one promo where Kevin Sullivan, he just keeps rolling his eyes up. Let me tell you something, Paul Ellering. And he's rolling his eyes up. I'm like, oh, man. I could play the interview, but you'd have to watch it on a network. It's on Saturday night, WCW Saturday night.
That's fine.
But that's a visual thing. You have to watch that.
Of course.
He's rolling his eyes up. And it had just gotten Dan Spivey at that point, right after this happened.
I know.
So, and Dr. Death, I can't express to you more my love for this man.
Dr. Death was a fucking freak of nature,
Mike,
man.
Mike Rotundo.
I'm not a big IRS guy, but I'll tell you right now.
He was solid, man.
He was solid, but I still think Dr. Death was way better than him.
Oh, well, I mean... That was the power side, the technical side. You can't, you know. I mean, Doc. I mean, the Fantastics gave them one hell of a match too for the U.S. Tag Team Championship.
That's because they were bumping machines.
They were bumping machines. At one point, there was a mix up in the ring.
Yep.
And Fulton tries to hit Rotundo with a corner punch. Williams rushes over, knocks him on the floor. Williams hits the 3-point shoulder block, but Fulton blocks with the Oklahoma Stampede and tags in Rogers, which is right here.
Pop right off the back of Dr. Dusty Wears Eddie. He had everything going just the way he wanted, but there was another man, a man that he wasn't aware of, and that was Mike Rotundo. Climbing to that second rope, measuring off an unsuspecting Tommy Rogers and dropping the big boot right behind the head. That was the damage. That's where the deed was done. It was only a matter of Steve Dr. Death living, hooking the leg, and holding him down for a 1-2-3.
Fans, when we come back, the Dragon in action.
It still amazes me that Bray Wyatt is the son of Mike Rotundo.
Blackjack Mulligan, Barry Windham, the whole family.
Kendall
Windham.
That's your favorite Windham, isn't it?
Yeah, Lee Champion, if you're listening, Kendall Windham was never a horseman. Okay?
Listen,
Tony C.
You can say all you want, but even Jeff Jarrett was a horseman.
Jeff. See, I was having a good day.
Mongo, horseman.
I was having a good day.
Paul Roma, pretty Paul.
Oh. Oof. So the next match, I really don't want. I mean, who cares? Bob Bradley was actually Battle Cat in WWF.
Which is, I believe that's RVD's favorite wrestler of all time.
Yes, Battle Cat.
Yep.
The fans doing the whole We Want Flair. You know, Steamboat with his 5,000 arm drags. Does the tomahawk chop in the crossbody. Again, Ricky Steamboat was flawless in the ring.
He's the man.
Bob Bradley just a fill-in at this point for, you know.
Poor guy.
This Clash of the Champions really wasn't that good. It just set up Chi-Town.
It was a setup show for the Chi-Town, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Rip Morgan, poor man's Bruiser Brody.
Yes.
That's for you, V-Dog, from post-match. Fucking watching Bruiser Brody matches.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Let us know if you like it.
Yeah. If he does it, he's
crazy.
He should have a podcast again. against Rick Steiner, who's the current TV champion.
Yes.
This is non-title. Nothing really to you know.
It was just
done. No, yeah, I mean, you know. However, Rip Morgan does run his own wrestling promotion called Kiwi Pro Wrestling. So,
yeah.
Just so you know, he's kept the gimmick alive. But the next match was the main event, and it was supposed... Now, again, the Road Warriors were the six-man tag team champions with Tenryu. They were heels, but they had heel beef with the Varsity Club.
Yes.
Now, this was heated because at one point, Tenryu couldn't fight on Saturday night. Paul Ellering filled in, and they got jacked up.
Yep.
And to the point where Hawk is so enraged, he rips a chair apart. Like, he banged the chair on the floor and then rips it apart.
That's crazy.
But Precious Paul and Kevin Sullivan have serious heat now. So they're supposed to be fighting at Chi-Town Rumble for the six-man belts. But the Road Warriors are getting a tune-up match against Sting, Michael Hayes, and Junkyard Dog, who are clearly on PCP at this point.
Right.
So I want to get to the interview real quick with Sting and Michael Hayes and Junkyard Dog.
And Sting.
Sting.
Right back home to Atlanta. Right back home. This guy's got more energy when he's asleep than most people got when they're awake. He needs a phone, and I got something to prove.
Hey, let's go talk it over. All right, let's go. I tell you, fans aren't ready for it. They're going back down to the dressing room right now. They're going to make their
Michael Hayes was like, Sting, shut up.
As they talk over just what they're going to do and how they're going to go against the world. Wait a minute, Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, what are you doing here, Kevin? Hold on a minute. I don't think your dressing room's down there, Kevin. What are you doing?
This was great. I love this.
Kevin, wait a minute. Fans, he's putting
tell the fans what he's doing, Choppy.
He is locking and Kevin, Michael locking Hayes, JYD, and Sting Kevin, in a cage.
They gotta come back out of there.
I love
right
Kevin.
Now.
They don't have to come out of nothing.
Kevin Sullivan, we talked about it. Even there's
oh my God.
Fans, we got a major problem here. We got to try to figure out what we're going to do. Get the building superintendent or someone. Right now, let's take a break.
Bob Cottle's an asshole.
He can let him out.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Because he could have let him out and didn't, right? And he could have called for help. He could have called for help.
He didn't. He was just
except
like,
he's giving the fucking crew their fucking, you know. I want to get the Road Warriors intro.
Oh, man.
Because I have the original. So let's do that. Oh, this is Sting.
Oh.
No, that. See how they fucked it up?
Yeah. Oh. Iron Man.
Baddest motherfuckers on the planet.
When you hear this song, bro.
Look, I'm still getting chills.
Dude, you get goosebumps when you hear this fucking song.
The fans are like, who the fuck is this Japanese guy? Meanwhile, he's one of the greatest wrestlers alive.
Yes.
Now, here's Sting's music, which is dope.
Yeah.
And now they show a picture in picture of Junkyard Dog, Sting, and Michael Hayes.
Oh, man.
Trying to get out.
That ain't happening. But uh-oh.
And then here comes the Varsity Club.
It's over. Look at the shots. Kevin Sullivan's giving Animal.
Break loose here. This is not Michael Hayes, Sting, and Junkyard Dog.
Animal gets... Hawk gets fucking tossed out by Dr. Death.
I know.
So, that's what happens. The Varsity Club comes out and...
Starts wailing
on the LOD, but the LOD come back. Tenru, and I want to go fast forward because now they're still trying to break him out.
Yeah.
So they break him out, but now there's actually a match going on at this point, and Tenru puts the fucking chops on Hawk just clotheslines Doctor. That's what I was getting to. Hawk gives Dr. Death a clothesline in the corner that literally rocked the ring.
Oh, yeah.
The ring actually shook.
It moved.
You know, it was so dope. So now these three Jamooks, Hayes is kicking the cage while Doug Dillinger's trying to break him out.
Is that Doug Dillinger?
It's Doug Dillinger.
No way.
Yes, it's Doug Dillinger breaking him out, right?
Oh, my God, it is. Oh.
Right?
Oh, terrible security, by the way.
Right, so again, no one has a key to this fucking, to this padlock, right? Michael Hayes is kicking the door in while they're trying to break him out.
I'm surprised JYD's not trying to bite them.
Well, now JYD, they get bolt cutters. This took 10 minutes. Now, here comes Sting. Here comes the dog. Here comes Michael Hayes. And there's a match going on in the ring now, but now you're going to hear some shit because here's the ending of the card.
Here we go.
And the feeling is mutual, I should add. Animal powering Dr. Death back into the corner. Doc makes the tag. They're working on the animal. They try to break his arm in the studios of Superstation TBS. The Varsity Club, they have the U.S. tag titles. They want the world tag titles. That's what they want. Oh, working under the arm. That was a, he got a chip right his shoulder right there.
And that's the strategy that they said would be successful. They were going to find a part. They were going to hurt him. And they were to show that even the Road Warriors had a weak link in their armor.
That's what they tried to do, as I mentioned, in the studios of Superstation TBS. They're trying to, they're working on a Hawk or Animal now. The big man, 304. They're working on his arm. Hawk, it just takes so much. He's over the top rope. That should be a disqualification. Referee did not.
That's an NWA style, the over the top rope.
Continuing.
Hated that.
And work on the arm. They'd like to dislocate the shoulder.
Yeah, what
they have to have a hell heck of an impact on Monday night.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to say. If Kevin Sullivan was thinking, if he can put them out, if he can hurt them, where Monday night they're unable to defend those.
Obviously, they're holding on to the back. They didn't want to come out. Yeah, they could have came out already.
And they ran the shoulder and the arm and the steel post one more time. Sullivan hammers and hammers away. The sadistic Kevin Sullivan, the Games Master, wants all the gold. And he and Williams will have that opportunity Monday night. Tackle it. What a collision. Animal went down, but so did Sullivan. They're trying to make the tag here. Animal needs to make the tag. He's tagged his partner. He tagged Hawk. Hawk is in there. He was tagged. He was legally tagged.
Jim, the referee, there was too much going on. He wasn't able to keep up with all the action.
Tommy Young loses all sorts of control in this match in a couple of seconds. Tenru chops the shit out of fucking Michael Hayes when he walks in.
The referee's calling for the bell. We'll have a disqualification in this one.
Junkyard Dog and Hawk. Two big slabs of beef.
Oh. They're kicking each other's butt from corner to corner, inside and out.
Jim Ross is every man for himself, that we've got ourselves an unscheduled battle royal here. This is no man's land. This is not the place to be.
Williams out.
Oh, look at that.
Yep.
Sullivan out there with the stinger.
Thank you.
Hayes in the ring, kicking away at the Japanese. Tenru and JYD have paired off. Atomic drop on the concrete.
Sting. Sting.
Sullivan's such a bump machine. Oh, cheap chair shot by Stinger. And their motto was re-wrestle back then.
Yeah.
Tenru just chopping the shit out of anybody in front of him.
He didn't care who the fuck it was.
I think he chopped all six people.
Did he really? Oh my god.
I think he chopped all the, yeah. We'll be right back. He said, get some security. It totally took him 10 minutes to figure it out.
Oh, my God. I can't believe how long it took Michael Hayes, JYD, and Sting to get out there.
It's awesome.
It was a good show. I like it.
It was all right. You know, I mean,
it was a setup show for the Chi-Town.
Yeah, no, listen, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because it's the Varsity Club and the Road Warriors were in it. That's what I'm saying, you know? So, yeah, Tenru. Tenru.
How old was Tenru?
He had to be in his 30s at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know, but it was dope. It was so dope. I loved it. Just the hope, though. And when I first saw it, I was like, why don't you just get him out? Like, break him out. Like, it was so stupid, you know?
Yeah.
That was me being fucking 14-year-old Phil to scream at his TV, at my friend's TV. So, but yeah, there you go. There you have it. Clash of the Champions 5. In the books.
Oh, man. And it goes on to set up the one of my favorite matches of all time, which was Flair and Steamboat for the Chi-Town Rumble.
Yeah, Chi-Town Rumble and then Wrestle War. They
were so good.
No, they were good. They were good.
They were really good.
Yeah, so, I mean, we didn't do a whole 2 hours tonight, but, I mean, it is what it is, you know. It's we could talk for 20 minutes, but there really isn't. I mean, it wasn't really a big card.
It wasn't a big card. But, you know, there's still a couple of things to talk about. I mean, like, you got to keep in mind that I still think the Varsity Club was great. I think they're very underrated.
I'll put them over till the day I die. The amount of talent that was in that ring between Kevin Sullivan cutting promos and still wrestling at this point.
And Kevin Sullivan, I think, was already in his 40s.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I think he had the book at one point.
He did.
Right, a little while after that. Danny Spivey, Dr. Death, fucking Mike Rotundo.
Was he the captain, Mike Rotundo?
He was Captain Mike.
Captain Mike, okay.
And then that's how he became the Captain Mike. Like, he had the captain, he had the Thurston Howard III fucking gimmick for a while.
It was, I like the Varsity Club.
Varsity Club was so good.
I love Dr. Death.
Dr. One of my favorite wrestlers. I mean, Kevin Sullivan, one of my favorites. Dan Spivey, one of my favorite skyscrapers.
Did you like Dan Spivey as Waylon?
Waylon Mercy, no.
Really?
No. I tried. I just, at that point, I wasn't invested. I mean, I didn't dislike him. I didn't like the character. You know?
I was actually scared of him when I was a kid.
You should have been. I think it was too dark.
For the time?
Well, I shouldn't say that. It was dark, but they didn't portray it as dark as it should have been.
Okay. Like,
he should have been harder than Bray Wyatt. You know, they have basically the same character.
Yeah, because it's Take Off of Cape Fear.
Yeah, come out, wherever you are.
Yeah.
De Niro was great in that movie.
Oh, man.
But,
what else?
No, I mean, listen, the Road Warriors was so good. I mean, they didn't take, listen... The knock on them always. They didn't listen to rules. They didn't eat a bunch of moves from other guys. They were very stiff, but they sold tickets, and I think that's what made them popular. You know, and the Zubaz,
and the fanny packs,
and the fanny. Everybody had fanny packs,
of course. I wish you guys were here to witness this, but like when Iron Man started playing, me and Phil literally had goosebumps.
Yeah. Because the hair I have left on my head still and in my arms.
What's your favorite WCW theme?
WCW theme?
Yes. Like wrestler.
NWA or WCW?
Both.
Well, NWA was the Road Warriors.
Okay.
And then Sting. We'll play Sting on the way out. WCW, I liked a bunch of them. I liked, what was the one I really liked? I'm trying to figure out which. Do you put me on the spot here?
Can I say one?
Yeah, go ahead.
My favorite WCW theme, Hollywood Blondes.
Yeah, well, yeah, that Greg Valentine used.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. Yeah,
Hollywood Blondes probably the best one.
Oh my god.
NWO
was really good.
NWO was good. Yeah,
but it got annoying after a while because I kept hearing it almost in the
Dungeon of Doom had that creepy music that was awful. Lex Luger
with the laugh at the beginning.
Sting, I like Stings.
Okay, with the Crow Sting.
No. The Stinger, the second
one.
Yeah. And then Steiner line, I like that. It was good. It was all right. Luger's, they had that dan da dan da 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 dan. That was all right. Flying Brian used Rocket from Def Leppard. That was his first one.
Really?
I didn't Rocket, know that. Okay. Yeah. And the Steiner's used Welcome to the Jungle.
That I remember, yes.
So they just before copyrighted music was.
Yeah, I was like the network really pisses me off because you can't play that music.
Well, that's why I found the Daily Motion one. Yeah. So we'll plug that. We'll put that on a page later on. Maybe you could do it when you're home.
Yeah.
Just take it from Daily Motion and put it on a page for everybody to watch. They can have it. It's two parts, and it's. I mean, obviously the network has a clearer picture, but this one has all the original music and shit. So. Once in a while, it's nice to hear the classics. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just... It takes you back to a beautiful time in my life. I can't begin... All the memories. When I watch all these old NWAs, it's like... You know...
And those feelings that you would get when you see these things.
Right, because it's so... I mean, I'm a sucker for nostalgia, hence why I do this podcast. However, you can't put anything against it. And I'm not saying that because it's... People are like, oh, you're saying that because you're old. I'm like, no, I'm not saying it because I'm old. These guys did something special in the ring. The promos that were cut, the matches told a story in the ring. Like the Varsity Club, they were heels.
Yeah.
The Road Warriors were heels. That was unheard of back then.
You never saw the heels going at it.
Never. No.
You might have seen a baby face and another baby face square off, but you
the
never.
The first time I saw that was in the Wrestling Classic in 85. Okay. For the tournament, for the car.
Yes.
The Junkyard Dog won, the Rolls Royce, allegedly. It was Dynamite, Davey Boy Smith against Ricky Steamboat. Well, yeah. Dynamite hit one of them, and the Bulldog got injured. And they stopped the match. But that was the first time I saw a good guy fight a good guy.
But you never really saw the bad guys going at it, and on top of that, it was something fresh to see on TV.
Yes, it was. So, and when you liked both teams, you were conflicted.
Yes,
you knew, man, can you imagine if the Varsity Club won the World Tag Team and they had the U.S. Tag Team titles?
Oh yeah,
like that's crazy.
That would be insane.
It's been done. Midnight Express did it.
Yes,
you know, the Steiners did it.
Were they the first ones at Midnight Express?
I want to say yes, they were.
Okay.
But
now, was the, like, I wouldn't know this, but like, since the United States Heavyweight title made you the number one contender for the world title, did the U.S. Tag Team titles do the same thing?
Yeah.
They did. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. they got title shots. Like, the Fantastics would get title shots. They wouldn't ever win.
They didn't win the world titles.
The Russians got title shots. They never win. You know, they were U.S. tag champions. They never won.
Koloff
and Nikita, yeah,
no, they were world tag team champions.
They were? Are you sure? I mean, they might have been, but they weren't at the same time.
When like Nikita and Ivan?
Yeah, Nikita and Ivan.
They were world tag team champions.
Are you sure about that?
I think they were, dude. Check that out.
All right, let's look it up.
I feel like they were.
Let's look it up.
And then you had Crusher Khrushchev, who was like...
No. That was Smash.
Well, hold on.
You're going to look it up? Okay. But, yeah, it worked the same way with the singles and the tag. If you were U.S. tag champions, you get title shots. They never won them, but, you know.
Hold up. I'm looking this up right now, and I believe...
I keep muting my mic because I'm yawning like a fuck.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. NWA World Tag Team Champions twice.
Right, when they beat the Rock and Roll Express, right?
I believe so, and it's Nikita and Ivan.
Okay, but they weren't U.S. tag team champions at the same time.
No, you're right. Right. Okay. You're right.
So,
and also World Six Man.
Yeah, World Six Man. That's what with Crusher Khrushchev. Yes. So, like, but I think the Midnight Express were the first team to do it.
They were the first, yes.
And then the Steiners did it, too, I believe. But, again, this sets up amazing things because they going into the Chi-Town with now that third member of the Varsity Club with Dan Spivey, so now fucks everything up, you know? So, and they don't, and, you know, World Warriors don't care. Like, we'll take all three of on. They said, all right, whatever. We'll do it.
Yeah, of course.
And it is what it is. You know, it was a fun time. And Steamboat and Flair got to mix it up again when they were killing each other in the late 70s, early 80s. And they're just magic in the ring.
I can never get tired of watching a Flair and Steamboat match. I think they're so good.
People get asked all the time, like, what's your favorite matches? And people asked me, like, you know, if you were introducing somebody to wrestling, what would you show them? I said, I would show them Dynamite Kid, Bret Hart, you know, and I would show them Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat. Like, I would show them those guys, say, hey, you want technical? I would show them, you know, back in the day, I would show them Chris Benoit, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, you know.
If I wanted to make somebody a fan of wrestling, oh, this is actually a really good topic, right? If I wanted to pick the matches that would make somebody a fan, I would go with Perfect and Bret at SummerSlam 91.
How about Bret and Bulldog at SummerSlam?
That was really good, too.
How about Flair and Sting at The Clash?
That was good as well.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of matches. I know I'm going, this is like a 10-year-old match. Is it 10 years old? Yeah. It's about 10 years old. Actually, 11 years old. It's Angle and Michaels at WrestleMania 21.
Michaels and Flair at Mania.
Yes, that was good too.
You know, Triple H and Triple H and a lot of people.
I love Triple H and Cactus Jack.
Cactus Jack at the Rumble. Yeah.
Oh my God, they killed each other.
Yeah.
There's so many matches out there that like one of my favorite matches also was Bam Bam versus RVD for the World Television Title
in ECW.
Yes, that was great.
How about Bam Bam versus Barry Windham at the Great American Bash?
Yeah,
or was it Starrcade? No, Starrcade 88. True Grit.
I think I've never seen that one. Did I see
that? That's a Christmas show.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. So yeah.
Bam Bam fought Barry Windham and took Barry Windham to the fucking limit. You know? But there's a lot of... you could show a bunch... And then you could show them the Cruiserweights. You know, you could show them the Mexicans. Mysterio, Hoovy, Psicosis.
Oh, who could forget the great Ciclope as well?
Ciclope. Who was the guy with the records all over him?
The records?
He had like record-looking discs all over his face. Super Calo. That's it, that guy.
Super Calo. Oh, my God. He looked like Conan with a mask.
Probably was his brother. His lost his chupa selling nephew.
Who could forget the great El Dande?
El Dande, rest in peace.
Oh, God. I miss those days.
Yeah, I do, too. You know, you show, and you know, if, but I would show him definitely Sting and Flair, Flair and Steamboat, Flair and Funk. Oh, my God. Come on, dude. The I Quit match. Tully and Magnum in the cage for the U.S. title. I would show him that.
I would show Tully and Dusty.
Yeah. How about Steamboat Morocco in the cage? How about Steamboat and Bob Backlund?
Steamboat and Macho.
Oh, Steamboat and Macho, WrestleMania 3 is probably people say it's the greatest match.
I don't think it's the greatest match of all time. It's a very good match.
It's serviceable, yeah.
It's a very good match, but they put it on such a high pedestal, but it's not the best.
I would show WrestleMania 2, Bulldogs against the Dream Team with Ozzy in the corner. Okay. They won the titles. That was a fucking great match.
I would show
Valentine carried Beefcake, man. Carry him in that match.
Because Beefcake sucked.
Oh, Beefcake was awful.
And then I would also show, I know people don't like the Warrior too much, but I love Macho Man versus the Warrior.
How about Macho Man versus Warrior at the Boston Garden? You see that match?
No, I have not. Which one was that one?
Fuck out of here. You never saw that?
No, dude, I got show. What are you talking about?
It's on this disc right here, cuz. Where is it?
Oh, I'll watch it on the network then, because I know I have it on the network then.
Hold on a minute. I gotta break my disc. Ooh, shit. Oh, God, I picked that up before I break it. I'm a fucking disaster today. It's gotta be here. I know it's here. It's, no, not Chris.
Because there's a lot of, they had a lot of chemistry. They had really good chemistry, those two.
No, it was him and Savage in the fucking Boston Garden. Where the hell is it?
Was it like this is like before he got the,
I think so. I forget. But it was him and Savage in the Boston Garden. I think it's on this disc somewhere. Barry Horowitz, Harley Race. Oh no! I'm sorry. It was Harley Race and Warrior in the Boston Garden.
Oh no! Yeah,
no.
I was just like,
yeah, no. I'm sorry. I got the mess. But that was a good match too. I would show somebody that match because it shows the contrast of styles. You have the fucking veteran, Harley Race wrestling this fucking monster, Ultimate Warrior, who's getting carried. And they actually put on a good match.
I'm pretty sure that Harley beat the shit out of
him.
I'm pretty sure he did.
He did, but it was the Boston Garden. And when you bump in the garden in Boston, that's all hardwood floors, dude. The entire fucking arena was hard. No, Massachusetts did not have the fucking padding.
Ooh.
And he bumped outside the ring. It was great. It's a good match, man. You should watch it.
I'll check it out.
Once you bring back my Mid-South disc, I'll swap it out absolutely. With you. I'll swap it out with you.
I still haven't seen it, though, because I haven't had time.
No, dude. Take your time. I know where you live.
Yeah, you can always just combine, but like, where the fuck's my DVD, damn it.
No, when I move all my stuff over, I'm moving some of this room over next week to the new place. I have these shelves.
By the way, is that happening next week?
Oh, yeah, that one thing's happening next Saturday afternoon.
I'll help you.
Afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Brooklyn in the morning. I'll talk to you later on about that.
Absolutely.
Let's start wrapping this up, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. Wait. Yeah, buddy. All right, so listen, we'll be back next week. We'll be back live, actually.
Yes, we are.
We'll have a nice throwback for you. And don't forget, tomorrow night, Wrestling Call-In Show with Mr. Will I Am Morgan at 11 p.m. Then Sunday at 5 p.m. is Surfer with the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. And, of course, The Rant comes back from their Thanksgiving break.
Yeah.
Not Thanksgiving, no. Fucking Valentine's Day. I'm a mess today. So, and then, of course, The Wizards are right after that. And then we go right back into our boys, Thumbstick Ninjas, then Rant and Wrestling, then we're back again. All the shows there, Shining Wizards, all new programming coming out, Inconclusive Breakdown, Dave Destruction, Pat Buck, Nigel McGuinness, hello.
Hello.
Hello, you wanker. And all that good stuff. And go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. Get all our back catalog there.
The shirts.
And support all of our friends who are not network affiliates.
Yes.
Shout out to all those guys. You know who you are. God bless you guys all. You guys are kicking ass. ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Get all the shirts there, of course. You want to tweet Choppy and I? It's at TBuckleTBacks and at Choppy Margaca on there. We have a Facebook page. Join the Facebook page. It's fun. People get interactive. You get 17,000 posts from Nick German because he's awesome. Thank you, Nick.
The German Suplex.
Nick German Suplex, our WrestleMania correspondent this year.
Yes.
Is that it? Do we have anything else going on?
I think that's it, man.
So on behalf of the Chopster, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu. Reminding you guys, please, tolerance. Take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap, and get arrested. Don't say the N-word unless you're on Esther or Tony C. Okay? And back next week. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Thanks, guys. Goodnight.